Brought to you by Finish Line Automotive. Friendly and affordable, located at 202 Park Street. This is 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
Is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge,
your hometown voice.
And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
And I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for May 29th, 2020. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. And this is going to be a news day. We're going to look at some of the things going around in the news, and I got to tell you, one of the podcasts I listen to on that's a current events type podcast. Earlier in the week, he described the amount of things that he was trying to digest coming out of the news as drinking from a fire hose, and that's what it feels like. And he does a daily show. I do a weekly show, and I can't imagine, you know, how to cover all of this stuff. And I'm not going to. We'll hit bits and pieces of it. But as we go into, you know, heading into our third month of the COVID quarantine, and we are starting to come out of it, it leaves us with, well, I was just thinking this about myself, as most of you know, that if you're a regular listener, you know that, in addition to occasionally doing this show, and I say that with tongue in cheek, I enjoy broadcasting sports. I've done it here on The Bridge. I've also done it on another video streaming network. I used to do the stadium announcing. So the absence of sports is driving me to the point of insanity, because that's what makes me tick. I mean, I have a regular job, and I'm happy that I've been essential and I've been able to do my job. I use that word in big air quotes, because I hate the idea of anything being essential or non-essential. And I might even get into that just a little bit among the different topics that we're going to hit on today. But I've been able to work. My wife's been able to work. Obviously, we can feel the difference in the community and going, you know, shopping and all those things. There's so many things that are different right now. But to what little credit I would give our governor, we're being let out of this, and it's being done county by county. So it makes at least a little bit of sense the way that it's being done here in Oregon. That doesn't mean you can't have arguments with what's been done. I certainly do. But at least there's, you know, some consideration for the fact that, you know, somewhere like Lake County, for instance, they went 2 months, they had zero cases. They finally, I think, just had two the other day. And, you know, so that means either someone left the county and came back, or somebody went into the county and maybe has subsequently left. Because if you went 2 months without cases, the virus was not present in your county. So they could have been open all along. I mean, truthfully, and you know, of course, if their director of public health or whatever, I don't know what the titles are of these county offices. We have one here in Jackson County that I'm sorry, but he's a reactionist. He doesn't show any kind of, he may have a lot of knowledge and he may be qualified for the job, but he doesn't show it in his statements. And if he was in Lake County, he would be telling us that, you know, oh, the massive community spread has begun, because that's what he did here when we went from like 3 to 6 or 6 to 12. I don't think we ever went from 6 to 12, so it must have been from 3 to 6. he immediately went on TV and told us that the community spread, the multiplication of cases was going to be happening, and it never happened. We keep having sporadic little, you know, we'll have a day where, you know, one of the southern counties has, you know, five cases. Of course, you know, two of them were cases in another county the week before, and they realized that they put them in the wrong county because they were traveling or whatever it was. And I mean, the way they count all this is so stupid to begin with, but it was like, I heard him say that, and I don't remember who I was with. It was either my son or my wife, and I saw that on TV. I said, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And here we are 2 months later, and it was the stupidest thing I've ever heard, at least related to this. There was no evidence that community spread was going to multiply like we were New York City, where everyone lives on top of one another and where they were sending sick people back into the nursing homes, which incidentally is where like 40% of the deaths have come from. And, you know, about three of the governors are partially responsible for that because they were sending patients back into the nursing home. So it was just ridiculous. And so, again, I have plenty of complaints about the way this is being handled in our state and in other states. But again, having said all of that, at least our governor is taking an approach where she's looking at each county and allowing them to make their case, so to speak. You know, there's some criteria they have to meet, and when they meet the criteria, then, you know, they get onto the train of reopening. And that doesn't mean there's not going to be more cases. Of course there's going to be more cases. But we've gone about this all the wrong way. And I'm going to jump in my notes a little bit. Today's show is not prepared. I haven't prepared anything I'm going to say, but I have a list of things that were of interest to me, and I'm going to try and hit as many of them as possible. But you're getting, you know, the crazy train of thought of this, you know, aging sports announcer. So anyhow, I had saw a story, I'm not going to get into it in any way, but it said that the Virginia schools could be closed for 2 years. And I'll be honest, I don't have it in front of me. I don't know if this was coming from the governor or from another government official in Virginia, but that is the stupidest thing that I've heard, other than the county official, what he said. And maybe that'll be the theme of today's show, the 10 stupidest things I've heard related to COVID-19. And we're not going to talk just about COVID-19. Clearly, there's some other more pertinent and pressing things going on in the news, and we're going to get to those. But we know from the numbers that school kids are, you can't ever say not, but they're in the least amount of danger as any age group. And actually, if you look at the numbers compared to the flu, and I know everybody freaks out when you compare this to the flu, the numbers are lower. Kids' numbers are lower for COVID-19 than they are for the flu. Why that is, I have no idea. Neither do the experts. They haven't been right about just about anything, so I don't expect them to know what's going on with this. But frankly, my opinion is except for maybe in a few areas, like, again, possibly New York City, where you don't want kids taking the virus home to grandpa and all of that, although I guess it's okay to send grandpa into the nursing home to get everybody else sick, but that's another story. These kids could have been going to school. We're doing just fine with social distancing and wearing masks. And yes, some people choose not to wear the masks. I notice there's a huge difference in Josephine County from Jackson County. When I go shopping in Jackson County, it's about 50-50, depending on what store I'm in. And, you know, maybe that's a class thing. I don't know. I wouldn't make that call myself, but it's a possibility. But you go into a store in Josephine County, there, you're the only person. If you're wearing a mask, you're the only one other than the employees at the store. So, and Josephine County has fared really, really well. Now, they do have the only death in the southern part of the state. At least they did a couple weeks ago. I don't keep the numbers on a constant scroll on my phone, but they've done very well with it. And I've noticed the entire time. Now, there were more masks in the first month, but after about a month, Josephine County said, yeah, we don't need these. This is stupid. And that's how it's been. And they're doing fine. But I don't know. I've already gone too long on COVID, and I got so many other things I want to talk about. But it's just crazy, the different things I'm hearing. I listen to a handful of tech podcasts, mostly related to Apple products, because I like Apple products, and I have my issues with them. I think I've talked about this before. I get frustrated. I think iCloud and the way that iCloud connects all your devices, it's both genius and completely ridiculous at the same time. It is the most maddening thing whenever, you know, somebody needs to tell Apple that not every part of our life is an individual me focus. I have a family. We all watch, you know, we have Apple TV right now because it's free. I haven't found a ton of programming that would make me pay for it, but you know, who knows? They're working on it. But when I go to watch something, or somebody in my family goes to watch something, the fact that it has to be connected to somebody's iCloud account and then therefore their preferences come up, that is the dumbest thing. At least, you know, Disney TV, or what is it, Disney Plus, you know, they set up, you can pick who you are. You know, I can say it's me, or I can say it's my granddaughter. And it brings up stuff related to what they've been watching and not just what's connected to your iCloud account. So not to mention the one time when early on, when my son was a lot younger and he, you know, we were all on the same iCloud account, so to speak. And he comes home and I'm on my iPad, and all of a sudden what he's watching on his iPhone comes over onto my iPad. And I'm like, what the heck is this? Where did this come from? Well, as it turns out, everything was set up for what I think they call it, handoff. And it's like, what are you doing? How do I turn this off? I don't want this. This is ridiculous. So again, for as much as I love my Apple products, there are some things I really don't like. But getting back to this tech podcast, these people, now granted, three of the five regular, there's a host, and there's one, two, three, I guess there's five regular guests, but they usually only have four at a time along with the host or something along those lines. But anyhow, they, and again, at least three of them are in California, one's in Boston. I don't know where the guy I like the most, I think he's in California as well, but he's a little more reasonable about certain things. They're freaked out. I mean, 2 months into this and they are unhinged. The host of the show this week said that they were talking about, they do a pick of the day of a product, and usually it's a tech related product. And one of the hosts, you know, she said she had gotten a new Traeger grill and she loved it. And so they're talking about the Traeger grill, and the host mentioned, well, he's going to have a social distancing barbecue at his house this weekend. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Do you trust your friends? If I trust my friends well enough to invite them to my house, then I'm going to trust them that they're A, not going to come over sick, and B, they've been social distancing along with the rest of us. And I mean, I'm sorry, but that's just crazy to me. A social distancing barbecue with your friends? Wow. How much trust do you have in your friends and family that 2 months later, nobody's gotten sick, and you're going to have a social distancing barbecue in your backyard. I don't get it. I know some of you are freaking out the same way. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I don't understand it. And they were talking about the contact tracing app that Apple has been working on, I think, with Google, because Google, you know, knows everything about everybody, and Apple doesn't, because they like privacy more, but they wanted to be a part of this. And he's losing it that this app is worthless. It's not, you know, it's the door-to-door contact tracing, calling the people and all that is the only thing that'll work. And one of the other hosts, he's saying, well, that doesn't mean we should throw it out. It's not the be-all, end-all, but it could be useful. You know, there are people that don't remember who they've been around. And if you had a tracking app that can send messages to people that you've been in contact with and say, hey, you were recently at such and such location, somebody there had COVID-19, you should probably go get tested. How is that not useful? It's a little creepy, but that we weren't talking about the creep factor. They were talking about useful in fighting the disease. And he's like losing his mind that this is the stupidest thing. And he's a tech guy, so he would normally be defending an app. But he's losing his mind because it's not the solution. If it's not the solution, push it aside. And I'm like, you're insane. If it would help, again, I think there's a big creep factor with that. I'm not sure I like it. But again, that wasn't the conversation. It would help. There are people that aren't going to be able to contact trace every single person they've come in contact, even every place they've been. I can forget week to week whether I stopped at, you know, 7-Eleven or I stopped at Little Pantry. You know, it would be helpful. But I mean, it was just the amount of people losing their minds over this thing. And then they'll turn around and they'll tell you, well, it's all about the science. It's all about the science. Well, the scientists are contradicted on a weekly basis. So which science is it about? You know, it just drives me crazy. So we're going to end the COVID-19 talk. I'm going to take a quick break. But before we get to the biggest story going on, which is, of course, the tragic case of George Floyd and his death, and there was an arrest today. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to save that for the last segment because there's so much to talk about that I won't get it all in, and we'll just hit as much as we can. We're going to talk about the Cooper versus Cooper dog walking case. Maybe we'll mention Trump on Twitter, SpaceX, big launch coming up tomorrow that got postponed. A few other things that we'll try and hit all of those in the next segment, but we'll take a quick break and be right back.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The police officer who was seen on video kneeling on the neck of George Floyd, a handcuffed black man who died in custody after pleading that he could not breathe, was arrested Friday and charged with murder in a case that has sparked protests across the United States and violence in Minneapolis-St. Paul. Hennepin County Attorney Mike Friedman says Derek Chauvin was charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter. Freeman did not provide immediate details, but said a criminal complaint would be made available later today and that more charges were possible. In the video, Chauvin is seen kneeling on Floyd's neck as Floyd is on the ground. President Trump said Friday the U.S. will terminate its relationship with the World Health Organization over its handling of the coronavirus outbreak in China. On Wall Street, a mixed day as the Dow was down by 17 points. This is SRN News.
Broadcasting to Rogue River, Gold Hill, Weimer, and beyond. 94.3, The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. Last night's NASCAR Cup race at Charlotte Motor Speedway was rained out and rescheduled for tonight. The starting order for the second Cup race at Charlotte this week was set based on the finishing order, the Coca-Cola 600, but with an inversion. Hendrick Motorsports teammates William Byron and Alex Bowman will start for the pole, while Coca-Cola 600 winner Brad Keselowski will start 20th. Major League Baseball players are crying foul.
The Players Union is not happy with the owner's call for a significant cut in salaries that would affect all players, especially the game's highest paid. A proposed 82-game schedule would begin in early July, but it involves massive pay cuts for players. The union is expected to reject the plan and counter in the coming days with a proposal that could include a longer season and not such drastic wage reductions. George Bonzani reporting.
The reductions are being proposed by owners for a pandemic-delayed season in ballparks without fans. This is SRN Sports. New Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy held a session with the media Wednesday. He said all NFL teams' preparation for the season has been cut short.
You know, you may used to be able to have 60 days to get a job done, and everybody in our league is going to probably have more like 30 days. So that's really, I'm really focusing on maximizing, you know, the time and the meeting time and most important things we need to get done when we do get back together.
After being named Cowboys coach in January, McCarthy spent most of his time leading up to the pandemic in Frisco, Texas, home of the Cowboys. But he's been with his family in Wisconsin for the whole time since the first 10 days of the pandemic. The former Green Bay coach has yet to have an in-person team meeting. Packers running back Aaron Jones says he wants to remain in Green Bay for his entire career and that he won't let speculation about his future distract him. The Packers drafted Boston College running back A.J. Dillon in the second round last month, a move that raised questions about Jones' long-term future with the franchise. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And if you'd like to call the show and give me your opinions about some of the things we're talking about today, I would love to hear from you. This is a perfect day for it. No agenda today and no agenda on the calls. I'm more than happy to be disagreed with because a lot of these things I'm not sure I agree with myself on. So if you want to call the show today, 541-299-0498, 541-299-0498. So one of the things I mentioned before the break, SpaceX launch coming up, I guess tomorrow, although the weather again is sketchy for tomorrow. And so I'm not sure what the next postponement date. I heard somewhere it might be Sunday, but either way, hopefully. I'm kind of happy it got postponed because I wasn't going to be able to watch it. Again, I'm not in quarantine. I am essential. And I mentioned that I hate that term. And I hate that term because everybody's job is essential. It's essential to their family. It's essential to them feeding themselves. And regardless of what the government wants to do for you while you're locked up, you know, I've always hated that term. It's a misnomer. It's, in fact, medical people are as essential as anyone I know, and they're losing their jobs left and right because they can't work right now. And it's stupid. I need to go see a doctor. I'm having a problem I want to deal with, and I can't even get into a doctor. It's starting to open up now, but it's like, how many people are dying of cancer because they weren't diagnosed soon enough? And, you know, you could say, well, it's only 2 months, Jeff. Well, some cancers are very fast moving, and catching them as early as possible can be the difference between, you know, defeating them or at least getting them at bay and dying from them. So, you know, I think those people are essential, those healthcare workers, and everything's closed. You know, if you're not dealing with COVID-19, which nobody down here is dealing with hardly at all because it's almost a non-issue, these people need to go back to work. They need, you know, people need dental care. I mean, if you're had a toothache and you need to get to the dentist like yesterday, and you can't get into a dentist and maybe you have to go to an emergency room. I've had emergency stuff done both for eye care and for dental care. It sucks. So if I can avoid going to an emergency room or an urgent care for something that I would normally go to a specialist for, that's what I want. I want to go see the specialist. So, you know, it's crazy. But anyhow, another tangent. But if you listen to this show, you know that's my specialty. But anyhow, I'm looking forward to the SpaceX launch. You know, it occurred to me, these are two, I've heard them described as NASA astronauts, which some of you would, if you're, you know, kind of new to the news and paying attention to things in the country, you know, maybe you're a young person that's just coming up, you might not even know what NASA is because we hardly talk about it. Some people were probably wondering if it even still existed because it kind of got phased out by the Obama administration. And I'm not making a judgment here or there. That's just the fact of the matter. But I'm wondering what the difference is, because I know that SpaceX is run by, now his name will escape me, the guy that owns Tesla. Well, Tesla is heavily subsidized by the government. And I didn't research this, so again, this is just one of the things going on, and I'm looking forward to a launch. I haven't seen a launch since, you know, the last space shuttle launch, at least not one like this, that, you know, a manned space flight and all of that, that's not, you know, flying out of Russia. So I'm wondering how much federal funding, either by way of tax relief or other type of funding, goes into SpaceX. So how much, you know, they say, oh, this is the first private company to do manned spaceflight. But I'm wondering how private is it really? Because Tesla, at least for the first several years, I don't know where they stand right at this moment, were heavily subsidized and they weren't making a profit. And so I'm wondering what the difference is and what the partnership is between SpaceX and NASA. But again, ultimately, I don't care. I think it's pretty exciting that we're going to have a manned space flight, and I'm looking forward to it. I hope I get to see it tomorrow. I hope they don't have to keep postponing it. So that would be that'd be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to that. Now, if you were listening to the news and the sports during the break, they mentioned that the baseball players union and the players are up in arms about a drastic pay cut, and I don't know all the details. That's the first time I've heard it. I gotta admit, as someone whose life revolves around sports, I don't really pay a ton of attention to breaking sports news and that kind of thing. I'm usually wrapped up more in the sports that I'm covering, which is usually high school sports. So I'm usually wrapped up in that. So I don't know any more about this story, but my question would be, well, why would you not expect a pay cut? And I don't mean a permanent one. I mean, if you get a full season in next year, your pay should go back to what it was. The stadiums, you know, they're probably still not going to make as much money as they had. But let's be honest, these sports organizations make a lot of their money on the TV contracts. I think of it kind of like the theaters. The theaters, you know, ultimately don't make a ton of money on the movies, because when the movie first comes out, everybody goes to see it and they probably make some money then, but they have to pay the fees in order to have the movie. And then they're required to keep that movie for a certain amount of time. And so they don't really make it on the movies as much as they do on the concessions, which is why it, you know, you have to take out a loan to get a large popcorn. But, which is funny, I had someone ask me, they said, boy, when we reopen, I want to go to the movies. He goes, I don't even care about going to the movies. I just want some movie theater popcorn. And it was funny because I had just read that one of the local theaters was going to be opening the concessions. You couldn't go to the movies yet, but you could go to the concessions. And I thought that was pretty interesting. So I told him, well, if you want some movie theater popcorn, now's your chance. You can go get it. You know, movie theater popcorn is, there's something in it that makes you can't make it at home. And I've tried, believe me, I have. I eat a lot of popcorn, I'll have to admit. And I make most of it myself, but I have tried. There's some magic they put in there that makes it better. It's the same thing the coffee stands do. You know, you could have all the machinery and all the ingredients. There's something they put in there that makes it not only tastes better, but addicting. And it's not just the caffeine, clearly the caffeine, but so anyhow, back to the baseball. I don't know what they're expecting. You're going to take a pay cut. You're not playing a full season. The teams aren't making any money. My favorite baseball team, the Oakland A's, just sent me an email this week that said they're laying off a bunch of employees and they're furloughing some other employees. And it's a sad thing. It's terrible, but when you can't put people in a stadium and, you know, sell them a ticket and sell them hot dogs and beers and whatever else, popcorn, you're not making any money. So I don't know what the union's expecting, but again, I'll admit I don't have all the details on that story. I just heard it right now on that news, which I think is yesterday's, but nonetheless, it was informative to me. So, you know, yeah, you're going to take a pay cut. And, you know, I mean, we used to have this thing where, well, the stars made really good money, but the other players don't. We're well past that. Every player on every professional sports team makes a pretty healthy living. Yes, there's a big discrepancy between the guy that sits on the end of the bench on an NBA team that only gets in when there's like a 30-40 point deficit in the game or lead in the game. Otherwise, he bounces back and forth between their developmental league team and the big team, and he never plays. Yeah, that guy's not making anywhere near what, you know, let's say if he's on the Warriors, he's not making what Steph Curry's making, but they're making a good living. And you can't, I mean, we just think that these teams, they just have like this endless money. And, you know, the NFL, probably a little different than Major League Baseball. The league itself is filthy rich, but but that's just because they set themselves up in such a way that they are. But, you know, it's baseball. It's not what it used to be. The teams are not, you know, they're not filthy rich. Maybe some of the big market teams are, but most of your other teams, you know, they're out of the free money to give out to their employees and stuff. So I don't know. I just found that kind of interesting, but you know, I'm not a fan of unions. They tend to screw up more than they fix. So let's move on to one of the next stories that has been going around this week. I don't know if you saw this or heard this. There was a thing going on. There was a lady named Amy Cooper, and she was confronted in Central Park. She was walking her dog off of a leash, and there was a man named Christian Cooper, which they're not related, who confronted her and asked her, you know, told her to put the dog on a leash. And the whole thing is kind of gross. Now, the worst part about it is it's the one story in the last month or so that has been going through the national news that actually there's actual evidence of racism. What she said to this man was completely racist, and she knew it. And what she essentially, now again, he doesn't go without blame in this. This guy was a little bit creepy, and he's a Karen, as my good buddy Michael Knowles would say on his show. He said these were two Karens, and they really were. And if your name is Karen, I apologize, but that's just I'm not in control of what becomes the cultural norm. It is what it is. You know, this guy's being a nosy noob, you know, put your dog on a leash, and, you know, he's bird watching. So I'm sure all he's worried about is that your unleashed dog is going to scare the birds away. And, you know, who knows? But he was being a little creepy. He had dog treats in his pocket, but he didn't have a dog. And he basically threatened to do something to her dog. So that part of it, you know, she was right to be, if not scared, at least annoyed, and you know, so they were both kind of in the wrong at that moment. But then she said something that I will contend is The only of the cases, the recent cases where we're hearing racism, 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 it's the only one where we have actual evidence that race was the motivating factor, because she basically said to him, she threatened him with, you know, death by cop, because she said, I'm going to call the cops and tell them that an African-American is assaulting me or whatever. I forget how she worded it, but she clearly used his race against him and made the assertion that the cops will come, and because you're African-American, they're going to, you know, assume you're guilty, and, you know, they'll whatever, they're going to rough you up, or I don't know what she thought, but that was horrible and racist in itself. No matter how creepy he was, and he was, that was a racist thing to say. Now, when she actually made the phone call, she still mentioned that it was an African-American man, but she was very honest about what was happening. You know, she wasn't quite as hyperbolic, although at the end of the call, she got all like she was, you know, I mean, it was totally fake, but she got all like she was freaking out and that you need to get here now. And it was gross. I mean, the whole thing was gross. And when we get to the final segment, you know, I'm going to talk about some aspects of the George Floyd story. But one of the things that I'm going to talk about is it's another story where on the surface, it looks like, oh, my goodness, this person is so racist. But is the evidence actually there? And I'm, you know, that's a really serious charge. I'm someone that wants to wait. I want to wait for the facts to come out. Now, we may, you know, when this guy, he got arrested today, the cop, and when it all gets settled or he goes to trial or whatever happens, we will hopefully find out the truth about it. But at this moment, the only evidence that it was racially motivated was that he's white and the guy was black. Well, he was a cop doing his job. He did it horribly. And again, I'm not making excuses for the cop. He at the very least, from me watching that video and seeing how long that went on, at the very least, you know, I don't know what, every state's got different names and whatever, but some sort of homicide is probably going to be charged there. And rightfully so. So don't confuse this for making excuses for the cop. I am absolutely not. I don't make any excuses. In fact, I have a friend that's a cop that posted on social media that, you know, we can't stand for this. This is not right. And, you know, I have a ton of respect for him for saying that, because you're putting yourself out there, even with your other cops, when you go against someone that's part of your profession. But I'm not hearing too many people that have a different take, that what he did was gross, uncalled for, and most likely criminal to the point of manslaughter and maybe even murder. So nobody's making excuses for this guy. I'm pointing out the way people react to it, and we immediately, because it was a white person and a black person against one another in some way, we automatically go to racism. And if it is, I'm right on board for calling it out. I'm telling you right now that Amy Cooper, she's a racist. No doubt about it. What she said to that man was completely racist. And it's way more racist than the evidence we have in some of these other cases. You know, we had the Arbery case in Georgia, where the father and son basically hunted down the guy. I mean, I don't know that they intended to kill him, but I mean, they had guns and he fought back and they killed him. We don't know how that case is going to turn out. But even in that case, you know, I saw people on social media saying things like, well, look at those two. Of course, they're racist. Well, that might be just as racist as, you know, what they may or may not be, because, you know, it, in my eyes, what we know, the facts that we know, was that they were vigilantes gone wrong and gone seriously wrong, and they should absolutely be charged with whatever the authorities determine is the highest crime they can charge them with and you know, successfully charge them with. But again, we automatically, oh, they're racist because they hunted down this guy just because he was black. Well, there was way more to that story than, you know, there was videos of him trespassing on a construction site. He didn't steal anything, and he doesn't justify what these two idiots did. But it does show that they knew, they thought they knew who this guy was. And again, it whether it went horribly wrong or they intended to do it, we don't have the evidence yet. And I know there's been pictures going around on social media, you know, that this guy is in the KKK or some other white supremacist group. It was one picture that you couldn't really tell for sure if it was him. If it's him, I'll be the first in line to, you know, to condemn him as a racist pig. But again, until we have the evidence, these cases, they get sensationalized. And look at the rioting that's going on. It, you know, and we'll talk about that a little bit after the break. But it's not useful to put the carriage ahead of the horse. And we're seeing that in, you know, in Minneapolis and in other places right now. I'm not going to get to any of these other points I wanted to get to. I will say that I do hope to cover the Michael Flynn stuff and the Obamagate, or it was originally Spygate. One of the people that I follow on this, because he's done the work to compile the information and present it in a podcast and in book form, is Dan Bongino, and he wrote a couple of books on the matter, the first one called Spygate. And the only thing I wanted to say about that is there's a ton of stuff coming out on that case. Most of it's getting ignored by the media. You know, it's easy to use other stories so you don't have to cover things that you don't really like. But there's a lot of stuff coming out. And I got to say it, the so-called conspiracy theorists, including myself, were being proven right more and more. Things that I was saying about this case 2 years ago, either on this show or on another show, they're coming true. The facts are coming out, and everything we suspected about this is happening. So I hope to get a chance to do another story. Won't be for a couple of weeks at least. Next week we're gonna celebrate the graduating class at Rogue River High School. I'm trying to figure out how that's going to work exactly, but if it turns into a graduation processional with all the names, then so be it. But these kids need to be recognized, and you know, the school's doing a great job trying to make do with what they can do. There's been a lot of community support for the kids, and we'll try and recognize as much of that as we can. So next week will be kind of a graduation special. I've got an interview I'm working on that I won't tease too much because I don't know when we're going to do it, but should be a really good one. So some good shows coming up, but we'll talk a little bit more about the George Floyd case when we come back.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. A white Minneapolis police officer who's charged with murder for kneeling on George Floyd's neck as the handcuffed black man pleaded for air is accused of ignoring another officer who is worried that Floyd should be rolled onto his side. Derek Chauvin was charged Friday with third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter. The criminal complaint also says that an autopsy revealed nothing to support strangulation. It says the medical examiner concluded that the combined effects of being restrained, potential intoxicants in Floyd's system, and his underlying health issues likely contributed to his death. In taking a look at Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down by 17 points to 25,383. but the NASDAQ rose 120 and the S&P advanced 14, oil up to $35.49 a barrel. More details at srnnews.com.
Keeping you informed, giving you the good news. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge,
your hometown voice.
Rogue Talk, and once again, that phone number, if you want to chime in this last 10 minutes, 541-299-0498. And so, of course, most of you have heard about or seen, hopefully seen the video. I mean, I say hopefully so that you know exactly what happened, not that you wanted to see something like that, because the video of George Floyd being held down by the Minneapolis police officer who has been arrested, incidentally, earlier today, which is good news because, like I said in the last segment, there's no doubt he's guilty of a crime. What crime it is, we don't know at this point. There's still a lot of evidence to be collected. You heard just in the news, the headlines at the break, apparently one of the officers, you know, had suggested that they roll him over on his back. They had called an ambulance. Now, I don't know when they had called the ambulance, so they were concerned about him for some reason, and I'm sure we'll find that out. I mean, we don't have an autopsy yet. We just don't. There's so much we don't know, and that's kind of there's a couple of side issues connected to this I wanted to hit on because people on social media are driving me insane with their I don't even know how to describe it. Their virtue signaling, I guess, is what we would call it in today's vernacular. But it drives me nuts because I'm not going to be shamed into taking your point of view, no matter how ridiculous. You say things and try and shame people. I'm just not going to put up with that kind of stuff. But there's a few things we know, and there's a lot of stuff we don't know. We know that they called an ambulance. He died at the hospital, but we don't really know what he died of yet. We don't know what happened before the video started. Again, anything that happened before the video started may change what he's charged with, the officer. And I'm purposely not using his name. If you want to look it up, you're welcome to. But I don't want the focus to be on him. And again, you know, I see a lot of stuff about George Floyd where he... You know, he had a somewhat checkered past. That doesn't have anything to do with this incident. You know, if you're bringing that up, your head is either too deep in your politics or you're a racist jerk, because none of that matters. Even why he was being arrested doesn't matter. Every police officer I've heard from this past week talking about this case, every single one without fail said this is not a proper technique, what he did and for how long he was on him, none of that is acceptable. Every police officer, I listen to a lot of podcasts, I listen to a lot of news reports, I have friends that are police or law enforcement, none of them are making any exceptions for this officer. They're all saying what he did was horribly wrong, and so there's no ambiguity here. There's a few trolls, I'm sure, out there that, you know, want to make excuses. There always is. There's always that one troll. You could give the best news, non-political news possible on social media, and somebody will troll it because there's just some people that their lives are so pathetic that that's what they have to do. But So we don't know exactly what he's going to end up being charged with because we don't have all the facts. And so it kind of got me thinking, and I don't have a ton of time, which is good for you. I won't be able to expound on this is too much. But, you know, I'm seeing things again, kind of going back to the social media reaction. I got people shaming me that, you know, that one of the ones that drives me the craziest, and I'll tell you why, and this, if I run out of time on this point, it's fine because I think it's one of the more important points. When they start throwing out there the white privilege thing, it drives me nuts. Not if you're applying it to the cop, although I'm not sure it even applies. The same as I don't know if the racism applies. It could have easily been a black cop that was, you know, a jerk cop that, you know, went way out of bounds. It wasn't, but it could have been. So we don't know the racial motivations. Again, if it turns out that this guy's a rabid racist, I'll be right there, you know, I'm right there with you to take him to the gallows or whatever, you know, however we take care of things. But we don't know that yet. We know that he should be charged with something, and it's at the very least it's manslaughter. But making comments about Floyd and about his past and about what he was, I mean, he's being arrested for passing a counterfeit $20 bill or something. I mean, that is completely immaterial to what happened here. So if you're doing that, knock it off. You're a jerk. But the white privilege thing, if you're applying it to the officer, okay, maybe I'll go along with you to at least hear you out. If you're applying it to me and everybody else on social media that is, you know, 3,000 miles away from this case, you're just virtue signaling and you're not helping your case. If you want people to support you in supporting George Floyd and in supporting the African American community, stop shaming people. That's not how you get people on your side. You don't get them by shaming them. I cannot not be white short of darkening my skin on purpose, and I would make a really weird looking African American. I'm just going to put it out there. I don't think that would be the smart thing for me to do. So short of that, I can't not be white. So I'm not going to apologize for something that I don't control. What I would say about white privilege is just let's quit talking about white privilege. Let's talk about American privilege. We should all be privileged as Americans to live a life. And again, that me saying that, I'm admitting that there are people that mistreat African Americans. No doubt about it. I've had the privilege of most of the African American or black people in my life. They've been friends of mine. They've been people I liked, or even if they're just acquaintances or people I run into, I don't have a lot of bad experiences. And in fact, in a community like this, where there's not a lot of black people in Southern Oregon, if you haven't noticed, they probably have it a lot worse than we do because there are people that are insensitive. There are people that are, yes, racist. But let's get the American privilege extended to those people. Let's do everything we can for them to enjoy the same American privileges. Quit shaming me for white privilege. I can't do anything about that. You can't. It's not like you can go. There's a place you can go to surrender part of your white privilege. What you can do is you can promote people as equals. You can make sure that everybody is treated equally and that they can all enjoy that American privilege that we have by living in the greatest country in the world. I say that I have almost as much faith in that as I do in my faith in God. This is the best country in the world. Do we have flaws? Absolutely, we do. We have serious flaws. We've overcome some serious flaws, and we'll have more to overcome in the future. But the melting pot is as messy as it can be, and right now it seems to be a mess. There's no other place in the world like it where We can live side by side with people that are different than us. And so, you know, quit trying to shame your friends. I mean, that's supposed to be your friends on social media. And you talk to them like, you know, like they're children or like they're some evil people. Quit shaming them with things like, if you don't speak out, you don't care. And, you know, you need to, you know, deal with your white privilege. And, you know, if you aren't doing something, you're part of the problem. No, you're the problem because you don't understand how to solve these problems. You just want to shame everybody to make yourself feel like someone that's good. So everybody, treat one another with respect, no matter their color. Be good to one another because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.